There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
As Lincoln warned, when you empower judges or respect the claims of power of judges, to do that kind of thing, to engage in that kind of jurisprudence, you give up Republican government. You abandon democracy.
From his perspective, there's no distinction between a person who believes what the Bible teaches about homosexuality and a person who would physically assault a student who identifies himself as gay.
It's like hiding the penicillin for a child in applesauce. The hope is that if we can get you to come and learn about parenting, we're going to sneak in a couple little references to a form of the gospel.
Nebraska, Oregon students love issues, etc.
Well, I've spent more than 30 years in the Midwest, and so it's not unusual to drive down the road, drive down the highway, heck, just look out the window and see a cow. And when we Americans and Westerners see cows, we generally think steak, beef, we think of food. But that is not how every culture looks at that. In fact, you may have been watching the news, seen a story out of Mumbai, India, where there is a ban on beef that is making it difficult for people who hold a different worldview. In fact, a very different worldview, the worldview of Hinduism, which isn't just a religion, it's also an entire way of life. We often hear that the cow is sacred. I think that may even be where we get the old cliche about the sacred cow. But is that necessarily true? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about Hinduism and an expanded beef ban in India. Pastor Stan Stanley will be our guest. A little bit later, we'll take up the questions that have been raised by some recent gay marriage statements made by a Mormon authority, a Mormon apostle. Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry will join us to answer those questions. Carol Tobias of National Right to Life joins us a little bit later. The fetal homicide laws that are, they work around the fringe, but they get straight to the heart of the issue of the pro-life movement. We'll see what's going on there. Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life. Raymond Ibrahim will join us. He's author of the book Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, to explain some Muslim-on-Muslim violence. The Islamic State has recently bombed several Shia mosques in Yemen. That has some people scratching their heads, but there is an explanation. We'll get it from Raymond Ibrahim. And then, let's see, boy, do we have a busy day here on Issues Etc. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will join us. We'll have a discussion with him. You may have seen The Daily Show. Jon Stewart was having a conversation with a guest about the need for a reformation in Islam. He had some ideas on the reformation and trying to get an answer as to why Islam might need a reformation. Would that be the same kind of thing as the Christian Reformation in the 16th century? Our last guest today will be Pastor Sam Schultheis. He's recently authored a blog post titled The Bible and the Walking Dead. We'll talk about Christian themes that many Christians who watch Walking Dead, I am one of them, super fan, have noticed in the TV series. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. The Issues Etc. comment line, that is for all of our listeners, but especially our beloved on-demand listeners. Use it anytime, wherever, or whenever you listen. 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about Hinduism and an expanded beef ban in India, Pastor Stanish Stanley. He's a regular guest, pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church, a PhD candidate at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Pastor Stanley, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure coming on Issues Etc. with you, Todd. Thank you.
One of the, perhaps the only thing that many people know, if they do at all, about Hinduism is that cows are sacred in Hindu culture, or maybe they would just generalize it to Indian culture. Is that true? And if so, how would you explain it?
Well, first of all, all, you see, when you talk about anything concerning Hinduism, you always have to keep a very open mind. It has to be, and you have to be very flexible. It is ambiguous and it's complicated. And I think I've mentioned that many times in your program also whenever I've come. No better way to explain it when I'm talking about cow over here, because when you look at the holy at the cow as an animal here within Hindu culture, or for that matter within India, it is true that it is venerated, it is considered sacred, it is considered a very holy animal. In many cases, it's worshipped also. And there is a whole religious significance attached to it, especially because of the ancient Hindu texts and writings like the Vedas or the Puranas and all that. But having said that, when you also look at Indian culture as a whole, you will also be struck by the way the cow is treated one-on-one on a daily basis anywhere in India, for that matter. So the cow is just one of those animals who are running around the road in the midst of bicycles and motorbikes and cars and buses and all that, and it's a common sight. And many people from the West kind of are struck by this kind of you know, the holding together of binary opposites, so to speak, when they enter into a daily life situation in India. So that's partly the answer to your question, is to point out that there is an ambiguity in understanding the cow itself. It is there is a lot of sacredness attached to it. There is reverence of the cow, but at the same time, there is also the treating of the cow as just one of the other animal. But that you will find in India. But at the same time, it is also true that especially for right-wing Hindu fundamentalists, and especially for the government dispensation that is running India right now, the cow is the symbol of national pride. It is the symbol of Hindu identity, and it is very, very important to kind of whip up. It's very easy, so to speak, to whip up a communal frenzy, if you want it, just on this issue of the holy cow. And that is what has happened over here, because with the cow banning, cow slaughter ban and all that, and the selling of beef being outlawed in India, especially this has become a big issue in my state where I grew up, Maharashtra, Mumbai. Beef is a very big food, so to speak, for the Muslims and the Catholics and the Christians who live in Mumbai and in Maharashtra. So with the banning of beef, it has really touched a nerve, so to speak, especially amongst the minorities. There are comments being made that, yeah, this is an attack on minorities and their way of life and all that. But that aside, let me also mention this in reply to your question, that when you talk about Hindus venerating the cow, and I've said this before also, Hinduism itself is a very constructed and a very contested kind of a concept. And that is why you will always hear the key word, Hinduism is always evolving, it's a way of life and all that. And it's mainly because people are just being drawn into the Hindu realm in a political, cultural, and a religious way. The best way to understand this phenomena is to say that not everybody in India, not all Hindus keep away or detest beef. And many Hindus eat beef, especially in my home state where my parents come from, in the southern part of India, Kerala, where Christians are maybe around 20% of the population, and Muslims maybe another 15-20%. They say that majority of Kerala, that means 60%, is Hindu. But beef is quite widely eaten in Kerala, for that matter, South India. And beef is eaten by Hindus. So this is the complexity of the entire issue concerning the cow, and whether it is venerated and whether it can be eaten, or whether only Hindus keep away from it and only others eat. It's not completely giving you a complete picture, but having said that, for the right-wing Hindu fundamentalists, it is very, very important that, and it is part of their agenda, to make sure that people adhere to certain values that they think define Hinduism. So cow eating and worshipping of the cow and keeping it sacred and keeping it away from the slaughterhouses has become a part of the agenda for the right-wing Hindu groups in India to enforce upon majority of Indians.
Is this a political? Obviously, to ban something would require some political force. Who is actually calling? What's the entity or entities that are calling for stricter bans on beef among both Hindu Indians and non-Hindu Indians?
Yes, it is, as I mentioned earlier, it is the right-wing Hindu fundamentalist forces, and it is kind of a wide range. There's a wide range of groups and organizations which represent this Hindu right-wing. In fact, the political wing of the Hindu right-wing is called the Bharatiya Janata Party, the BJP, and its leader right now is the Prime Minister of India, that is Mr. Narendra Modi. So Prime Minister Modi and his group is the political wing of an organization which was always its mother, father, or its parent organization, and that is called it's a socio-cultural organization which is called the Rashtriya Swayam Sevak Sangh, and the acronym is RSS. So RSS is the base organization. The political organization of the RSS is the BJP. Then you have the religious organization, which is called the VHP, which stands for Vishwa Hindu Parishad, meaning the World Parliament of Hindus. And then there are other fringe organizations which connect to these organizations, like the Bajrang Dal, which is basically an organization which is which kind of takes the deity Hanuman, who is in many in probably Westerners would see it as the monkey god. Bajrang Dal is an organization which works primarily amongst the forest dwelling Adivasis or the tribals of India, and there is an attempt being made to slowly co-opt the tribals also into the Hindu fold by making them realize and teach them that they are Hindus. And not animists or not tribals who have their own identity and their own religion, but rather they are all Hindus too. So this process is kind of going on for decades. Even during British rule, when the British ruled over India for 175 years, the cow was one symbol which kind of brought many of these different groups and different castes and different communities who were loosely called Hindus together under one bandwagon. To fight the British or to fight the Muslims prior to the British who were ruling over India. So that's basically the entire ideology behind behind this. It is an attempt to use important symbols within the Hindu way of life to co-opt, to bring in, to add on to the dominant Hindu society, which is already there. When we say that India is a Hindu country, technically India on paper has 80% Hindus, but many of these Hindus, do not adhere to certain values which the Hindus set up as truly Hindu. For instance, in this case, the cow is considered to be the holy animal, the sacred cow in Hinduism. But many Hindus eat beef. So how do you solve this this problem? And the way they found it, found the solution is to coax the people and coerce them culturally through peer pressure or through legislation in this case, and bring the people into a understanding of a Hindu society and a religion which holds on to certain important values which are same for everybody. And in this case, the cow becomes one such symbol or element in keeping in bringing up or building up a Hindu consciousness and a Hindu society. So that's the way we need to see this. Yeah.
Pastor Stan Stanley is our guest. He's pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church. When we come back, a few more minutes with him talking about Hinduism and expanded beef ban in India. It's Tuesday afternoon, March the 24th. We are coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Science is legitimate and completely compatible with Christianity, but scientism is fundamentally incompatible with biblical Christianity.
Dr. David Menton of Answers in Genesis, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Scientism is that worldview that insists that everything that's real is material. And a corollary of that is everything that is real, all phenomena that are real, may be explained in terms of purely natural terms. And we need to be aware of the intrinsic scientism nature of evolution.
You can meet and hear Dr. David Menton making the case against scientism June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
The Saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, Gethsemane-LCMS.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Hinduism and expanded beef ban in India. Pastor Stanis Stanley is our guest. You know, our Christian brothers and sisters all over the world need support, and the kind of support that Luther Academy is offering comes in the form, well, it comes in many forms. Publications through conferences, scholarly exchanges, all of this with an emphasis on genuine confessional Lutheran mission work through those means. Luther Academy promotes genuine confessional Lutheran theology and research through its conferences, its scholarly exchanges, its publications that assist the church worldwide to both preserve and to proclaim to the world the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only saving faith. You can find out more about this great mission organization, Luther Academy, at lutheracademy.com. Be sure to sign up to receive their free email newsletter. Pastor Stanley, how would you view it if you were a Christian living there, obviously a minority, but still a significant number of Christians in India, who feel not just the cultural pressure, as you say, kind of the peer pressure, but they are concerned that there's kind of a Hinduization taking place or an attempt at Hinduization? How would you react to it if you were in their shoes?
Well, it's very difficult to really answer that question because I can speak from my own experience. Growing up in Mumbai during the 80s and 90s, many of my friends were Hindus and Brahmins, and there is a connection with the Brahmin and the cow, because the cow being the provider, being in certain circles, the understanding is that the cow is the one who gives wealth, who brings in prosperity and all that. So the highest gift that you can give a Brahmin, the priestly class of India, the priestly caste of India, is a cow. Having a lot of friends from among that community, I always was under that peer pressure not to eat beef in front of my friends. And my friends would always ask, "Do you eat beef?" And the answer would be, "Well, I would eat it, but right now I don't." You know, and that's what I used to do. I didn't want to offend my friends, and probably that is the way many Christians in India also approach it. We do not want to offend offend our Hindu friends, especially in a context where you are in a minority and where communal clashes and problems can easily arise out of just having a heated conversation over something called as simple as eating food. And this is what happened with us. In fact, to be very frank, we were not eating beef in Mumbai too. My parents basically substituted it for goat meat or chicken, for that matter. And I think that's what's going to happen over here also. It's at least Christians will move over to eating goat, mutton, and chicken a little more, and that might push up the value or the prices for these kinds of meat to exorbitant rates. But I don't know how the Muslims are really going to handle this, because it's a very big industry for the Muslim people who live in India, slaughtering of beef and selling of beef is very, very important. But also along with that are associated trades like leather and hides and all that. And that, I don't know how that is going to really affect. It is going to be very, very, very difficult. But having said that, it is also true that here, one of the issues that we should keep in mind is cow slaughter is not really the issue. They have extended that ban to even bulls and to buffaloes and all that kind of stuff, which was not the case prior to this law coming into force. So it is going to be definitely people are going to see it as an attack on their diet, on their lifestyle, and it is going to create a lot of issues. How India faces it, in my opinion, people are just going to take it lying down and just move ahead with the next thing. In such a situation, the best thing that we can keep in mind is that, as a Christian, probably I would reserve my right to say that, hey, this is not right. What you guys are doing, and that as a Christian, I understand. I see it as not a worship of a created, but I worship the Creator. And so that would be my perspective on things. But at the same time, whether offending and creating problems for people around me would be something that I would like to do, or people in India would do, is, in my opinion, not the way that they would go. They would, normally Indians turn out to be a little more tolerant, and they will handle this issue in a more sensitive way. They might build a public opinion against it, and there are already attempts being made in that direction. So we will have to wait and watch. But as of now, as a Christian, maybe this is a time where we have to face it from a very from a perspective of suffering and show our love in by expressing definitely the fact that, yeah, this is not something that we believe in, but at the same time realizing that offending others is also not what we want to do right now, and hopefully things will change over a period of time, and things will come back to where it was before.
Pastor Stanish Stanley is pastor in the India Evangelical Lutheran Church. He's a PhD candidate at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Pastor Stanley, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It was a pleasure being with you. Thank you.